Ok, start again. Last topic today. Microphone array and virtual microphones. This is a topic which is very current for us because it is the work done by me and Andrea Capra, who is a postdoctorate fellow, in the last 3 years. Is a work which is sponsored and paid for by Centro Ricerche RAI in Tari. So it's together with RAI for their broadcasting need. The goal is to create a microphone system, a recording system, which can synthesize a number of virtual microphones, high-grade directive, steerable, real-time steerable, and with variable directivity pattern. With this direct virtual microphone, you can follow the actor moving over the scene, and you can zoom in or zoom out, following the movement of the camera. So this is what is currently done with physical direct microphone by people running around the stage with the long rods, and attempting to keep this microphone outside the camera for avoiding that you see this dead cut. It's called dead cut because usually the microphone is covered with fur, with windshield which made of fur, and you see that thing sometimes coming in the video recording. So with this kind of microphone array, we want to stay out of the line of sight of cameras and still be able to steer the virtual microphones wherever you want. We started with existing technology that is ambisonics approach, first order ambisonics, which of course is a starting point but was not good enough. Here you see a short history of the ambisonic technology. The technology has two main inventors, Peter Craven, the one of the panning law, and Michael Gerdon, who was the real genius of the invention. That is a young Michael Gerdon making experiment of the very first ambisonics microphone, which was actually built with four independent microphones arranged together more or less in a tetrahedral shape. This is the second version, still a prototype, with four diaphragm capsules mounted at the vertex of a tetrahedron, and this is the commercial version known as the Soundfield microphone, the one which we did buy more or less 12 years ago. The same slide as before, describing the B-format component, same problems which you already know with traditional ambisonics. So currently ambisonics is not employed anymore for real-time recording and playback. It's only employed for impulse response measurement in theaters with a small device like Tetramic and Brahma, which are cheap and effective. Here you see the Brahma unit, which is portable, battery-operated, handled, and very cheap actually. And this is the tetrahedral probe of the Brahma recorder. This is an example of use of the Brahma recorder for capturing the spatial information inside a theater. In this case, the source was with balloons, very practical. In this case, was the firecracker. Also, the firecracker is cheap and practical for impulse response measurement, as we did already earlier a few lessons ago. Okay. The signal from a microphone like the Brahma or like the Tetramic is a format. For converting a format to B format, we employ this Xvolver VST plugin, which was developed by one of the students make their thesis with me, and is now freeware, and you can download it from the my website. Xvolver is a matrix convolver. In this case, you have a matrix of 4x4 filters. The 4 format signal comes from above. They enter the matrix, and the 4 outputs come from right. So, for example, the first output, which will be the W channel of B format, is the mixture, is the sum actually of the four capsule signal, the, which comes here from above, everyone filtered with more or less the same filter. You see they are very similar, this 4-1, because all the four capsules contribute more or less equally to W, which is omnidirectional. Instead, second output channel is X, and X, the two frontal capsules of the array, are filtered with positive filter, you see the peak pointing up, while the two rear facing capsules have the negative sign. So this is more or less the difference between the two frontal signals minus the two rear signals. And the same, you see this alternating sign here for the component Y and the component Z. Here the two capsules pointing up, front left up and right back up are positive, and the other two capsules of the tetrahedral array, front right back down and rear left down, have negative sign because they are pointing down. This way, with these filters, you get a very nice beformance signal. Those FIR filters are computed again with the Nelson-Kirchhoff formula, the same formula we had seen for equalizing a single channel system. And if you remember the first lesson today, is again the Kirchhoff-Nelson formula for computing crosstalk cancelling filter for the stereo dipole. So the Nelson-Kirchhoff formula is general purpose actually, and it deals with system with one channel, two channel, four channel, more channel. We will see also more channel now. In this case, there is the example of the open theater shown before with the explosion of the firecracker. This is the impulse response measured there with a very nice signal-to-noise ratio thanks to the good acoustical properties of firecrackers. And what you can do analyzing the beformat recording is a spatial analysis. Spatial analysis means to understand the direction of arrival of every reflection, the direct sound and every reflection you can know from where it is coming. How can we get the information of the direction of arrival? First of all, the sound intensity vector is computed. Sound intensity vector is given by the product, the three Cartesian components of sound intensity are the product of pressure and velocity. So with the B-format signal are W multiplied X, W multiplied Y and W multiplied Z. You can also compute the total energy of the sound field as the sum of squared pressure and squared particle velocity component. Everything is averaged over 1 millisecond time slice along the impulse response. The ratio between intensity modulus and energy density is computed, and we call this ratio R. The ratio between intensity and density is a pure number, actually. Azimuth and elevation are found by trigonometric inversion of the Cartesian components of sound intensity. The result of this spatial analysis are charted employing the Mercator projection. The Mercator projection was developed for cartography, marine cartography, for creating a rectangular chart of the spherical world. Is a cylindrical projection in which parallels becomes horizontal lines and meridians becomes vertical lines. I think everyone has seen this kind of graphical representation. This is a Mercator projection of the theater. How you get this? With a very nice and free software released by Microsoft Research Center called Image Composite Editor. With this free software, you take a lot of photos with your cellular phone You don't need high resolution photo because you are getting 20 or 30 or 50 of them. So they can be just VGA photo at very low resolution. All around, stitching all around, up, down, everywhere. You make 40, 50 photo. The order doesn't matter. The orientation of the camera doesn't matter. This software is very clever. You load there a bunch of 50 photo and he understands wherever you are is pointing. And he reconstructs the complete Mercator projection of your whole room. Okay? So you get this image. This image for us is the background over which we are going to map every room reflection. We can plot a circle for every reflection along the impulse response. As we know azimuth and elevation, which becomes X and Y coordinates on the Mercator image. And the radius of the circle is proportional to some intensity, of course. A small circle means small intensity. A large circle means a lot of energy. And the transparency of the circle is made proportional to the ratio R. This ratio R has the meaning indicating if the energy is traveling or if the energy is stationary. If R is large, it is sound which is really traveling. If R is low, it means that the direction is meaningless because it is stationary energy, like reverberant field. So in the late part of the impulse response, most of the energy is reverberant. The ratio R becomes low and the circle becomes transparent. You don't see it anymore. So where R is large, the sound is strongly polarized in one direction, and this means that it can really be perceived as an echo coming from that direction. When R is low, you don't hear any. Here you have an example of this spatial analysis performed on this kind of room, which is the concert hall. The chart below shows the impulse response, actually only the first part of the impulse response. In blue you see the sound intensity, and in black the energy density, or in decibels, these are levels. The sound intensity level is always less or equal than the energy density. It will be equal when R is 1, that is 100% propagative energy. When, like here, there is a lot of energy but small intensity, it means a diffuse field in which the sound is coming from everywhere and from nowhere, and the energy is steady and is not traveling. Now we see an example. You see the cursor of current time. The first one was direct sound, of course, and those are reflections. Now here there are a couple of disturbing echoes. See where they come from. Hope. Hope. They come from here, from the ceiling before the stage. So this area is reflecting, actually, and it should be made absorbing for removing these two disturbing echoes here. This kind of spatial analysis is very useful when from the impulse response analysis you hear and see that there are disturbing echoes, but you don't know from where they are coming. This kind of software tools make it easy to locate the direction of arrival of this disturbing room reflection. This is a second example outdoors in direct sound from the stage. Reflection from the gradons, you see. There is never anything coming from the sky, of course, because here we are open air, so all the reflection come from below, from the gradons around you. There is still a reverberant tail in this kind of open air theaters. It is the gradons. The gradons create multiple reflection running between the gradons itself. Okay? And then we go to the EigenMic. The EigenMic was built the first time 2 years ago, the first example. We did manage to buy sample number 5, is an American product, but we did write our own software for it. In practice, we started with the first prototype built here in Italy by a student, which was not working very well with poor quality microphone, and the sphere was not very geometrically precise because it was cutted in fast prototype piping from polyurethane. So it was not really good. This instead is much better. This is the Eigenmic, is this American microphone with 32 channel. It comes with its own FireWire sound card. The sound card is connected with the probe with a digital Cat5 cable, an Ethernet cable. The signal is already digitized inside the sphere, so you get only digital signal out, and the cable also brings back power and control of the preamplifier for setting the gain. The black box here converted this digital signal to FireWire format for connecting with the Mac. And at this point you can record on hard disk or other audio peripherals. The software coming with the microphone is horrible. The software coming with the microphone is based on Igorder ambisonics. So instead of having only spherical harmonics of order 0 and 1, you have also this funny shaped second order and third order spherical microphones, spherical directivity pattern. They are called spherical harmonics. This mathematical description of these harmonics is the same used in the atomic orbitals, if you remember something from chemistry. Okay? It's the same math. Combining an increasing number of spherical harmonics, you get a narrower and narrower microphone. The software coming with the Eigenmic is employing third-order ambisonics. So the polar pattern which you can obtain with the software are those ones. This is the software coming with the microphone. You can create a number of virtual microphones, up to 16 currently. And in this moment the software is just creating two virtual microphones, the blue and the green one. Every one of the two can be aimed at your choice, employing the mouse, so you can tilt these microphones around. You can change the directivity pattern here, selecting the pattern among a set of four predefined patterns. You cannot change them arbitrarily. The pattern is just prefixed. You can change azimuth and elevation, so you can only tilt the microphones around. As said, this software is not working very well. We were not satisfied. First of all, you don't see when the microphone is pumping. So, with this probe mounted on stage, and you are here at your desk, how you know what is the optimal angle for getting the microphone pointing over the actor or the singer? It's not trivial. And then, the sound quality was not very good, because the higher the order of ambisonics, the larger the noise you get, particularly at low frequency. In practice, the problems with these high order ambisonics are listed here. First of all, you are losing half of the spatial information. You are recording 32 channel, but you get only 6 spherical order harmonics, 16 spherical order harmonics, so half of the spatial information is gone. The frequency range of high order harmonics is limited, a lot of noise at low frequency, the virtual microphone you obtain has no constant directivity pattern, the frequency range is limited to 10 kHz, and the sampling software is impractical as you don't see where the microphone is. So our idea is to get rid of completely of the ambisonics theory and develop a new theory, a complete new theory, capable of synthesizing an arbitrary number of virtual microphones directly from the capsule signal without converting a format to B format. We process directly the format signal. So we have a signal processor which is fed with the capsule signal and produce as output directly your virtual microphone signal. And again, this will be just a bank of FIR filters, because I don't understand IIR, I must say. I am much more handy in working with a FIR filter. So the math is very simple, actually. You have your signal X, you convolve with your filters H, and you get your virtual microphone as an output. It's just what we call spatial convolution, because you are performing the sum of a number of spatial samples, the single microphone, everyone multiplied with a spatial coefficient, which is simply an FIR filter. So, in this new approach, there is no theory, no wave equation, no complex mathematical formulation like in ambisonics, those spherical harmonics formula. First order are easy, but higher order, just writing the definition of those funny shapes is terrible. We don't have absolutely any theory, we just have measured data, a set of impulse response is measured over the microphone and numerically inverted. Our approach is numerical, it's not mathematical. In this way, we also get maximum correspondence between the virtual microphone pattern and the ideal pattern which we prescribe as a target. And we also get the additional advantage if one of the TOT2 capsule is less sensitive than the other or has a different frequency response. As everything is measured and then inverted, we also correct for these artifacts. Even reflection, shielding from the support, everything is corrected, more or less. So we start making this matrix of measured transfer function, locating an artificial sound source at a number of positions around your microphone array and measuring a set of impulse response for each source position over the M microphones. So you get a matrix of measured impulse response connecting every direction in space with your probe. This is the target directivity of our microphones. For now, we only use high-order cardioids, that is, no rear lobes, no reversed polarities, only one positive main lobe, which can be broad, first order, or narrower, 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 up to 10th order, which is very narrow. So we have the measurement, we have the target, the filter should do the magic. The filter, which are called H in this case, convolved with C, which are the measured impulse response, must give P, which is the prescribed directivity of your virtual microphone. How can you solve this linear equation system for finding the filtering coefficient A? Look here, again, Nelson Kirke, the same formula. So this formula works for mono, you measure a loudspeaker, you want to flatten the response, stereo dipole, two-channel recording, two loudspeaker, a 2x2 cross-hall cancellation matrix, for the A-format to B-format conversion for the traditional first-order ambisonics theory, and it also works here for creating a set of filters which, convolved with the measured data, produce an output which is maximally close to the prescribed directivity of your virtual microphones. The price to pay is some delay, which you have to add here, for making the signal coming through this path arrive temporally aligned with the signal doing this path here. And minimizing the error, you find H. Again, you have the regularization parameter here for avoiding problem when inverting the matrix. And again, the regularization parameter is set very small in the useful frequency range, and it is raised to a much larger value at very low frequency and very high frequency, where your measurement is not good, where there is noise, where your transducer are out of specs, out of their frequency range, and there is no sense attempting to correct a system which is out of control. The measurements were performed in, say, 684 different directions inside an anechoic room. We synthesized up to 32 virtual microphones, and we get a matrix of inverse filters. These are the results we have got. They are not perfect, particularly at very low frequency and at very high frequency, the red curve. The pattern is very different from the theoretical one. But at intermediate frequency, the system is working quite well up to sixth order. We attempted to go up to 10th order, but it doesn't work up to 10th order. The measurements are made placing the microphone on the turntable inside an anechoic room, sine sweep, of course, forgetting the impulse response. And, of course, there is a reference measurement with a Bruhlkaer microphone for equalizing the loudspeaker. This is the microphone holder for allowing the double rotation of the microphone, which was built by Lorenzo Chiesi, the student making his thesis work on this topic. Oops. So you first make a complete rotation, then by hand you tilt the microphone along this ring, make another complete rotation, and so on, until you did sample the whole sphere around the microphone. So the total number of microphones is 684 with 10 degree by 10 degree angular resolution. And the whole measurement set did take approximately 3 hours in the anechoic room. Photo taken during the measurement. This is the control system. The control system is a software running on the PC, and you also get video from this parabolic mirror camera. The panoramic camera provides in real time the Mercator projection of the whole room. A laptop is controlling the virtual microphone positioning thanks to a graphical user interface. Originally, the processing was done in this black box computer, which was separate from the laptop, but nowadays the black box is gone and all the processing is done on the Mac. Here you see the EigenMic mounted together with the parabolic mirror camera, which captures the spatial image in a single shot without the need of stitching many focus. So you get the reflection of the image in this parabolic mirror, and the image you get from your camera looking into the parabolic mirror is this one. With a software running in real time, you get a video which looks like this one. So the circular image is called a donut image, this one. You know the donut, the ciambella. And this is unwrapped, creating this rectangular projection of the whole room over 360 degrees. This is an example recorded at Casa della Musica Auditorium, where I and Andrea Capra, who is seated there, were talking, and that is my son using a small cellular phone playing music. Let me see if it is working. Now, I think I will start.
Okay. Tu, Andrea,
That's Andrea.
I'm trying to make some sounds. I'm speaking some words.
The music comes from the cellular phone, which is here, more or less.
I'm
Now I go with the microphones over the cellular phone. The voice outside the spot of the microphone is not completely good. It's attenuated. And the voice inside the point of the microphone is louder, but it's not kill completely the other. Because this microphone is not a laser beam, only the technological. It has a polar pattern, which is smooth. It attenuates the sound out of the direction, but it never brings to you. So you can follow your source, the music in this case, or you can go to the voice of one man.
You have to stop there, I have to stop here.
Okay. Many recordings has been performed by our colleagues from RAI employing this technology, opera and concert and drama and theater and so on. And now the RAI actually did buy the seventh of these Eigenmic microphones. It was shipped today. I received a few minutes ago the message from the United States. Unit number 7 has been shipped. It will be here next week. So they are buying a lot of them because they are very happy of this capability allowing them to work. Also the sound quality is quite good. I think here we have an example which should... Okay, with better loudspeaker you could hear better the sound quality, of course, but... When the camera zooms in, also the microphone is zooming in. So we are coming closer to the studio. When the camera zooms out, also the microphone zooms out. So you can connect the visual perspective with the audio perspective. No other microphone system can zoom in and out. And the sound quality is so good that now for broadcasting of operas, they are not using anymore this wireless microphone as before. Since 6 months now, RAI got rid of those things and they are only using the Eigen mics for operas. For operas it's particularly useful because opera singers hate this wireless microphone. Modern singers are used keeping a microphone in their hand, but opera singers, they don't like to have a microphone over their body. Well, final step is, as we have got rid of spherical harmonics, we are not using spherical harmonics anymore, how can we replace them in the same mathematical framework? The concept is called spatial PCM sampling and is the parallel of normal PCM sampling of a waveform in space. So we actually space with, let's call them spatial Dirac delta function, one in the direction of one of the capsule of the microphone. And instead we are not using any more spherical harmonics. Let me expand this concept better. This parallelism between sampling a waveform and sampling the spatial information. When you have an analog waveform like this one, and you are doing PCM sampling, what really means PCM sampling? It means replacing the continuous analog waveform with a sequence of pulses. So your envelope of the pulses is your original analog waveform. In space is the same. You have a spatial distribution of sound, which is the red pattern showing you the intensity of sound coming from every direction. We are going to sample this spatial information with a number of ultra-directive unidirectional microphones which are those black lines here, which are spatial pulses or spatial Dirac delta function. In practice, if we continue the comparison between waveform and spatial information, when you make the Fourier expansion of a complex waveform, you are telling that a complex waveform is the summation of a number of sinusoids of different frequencies. This is the Fourier theorem. Fourier theorem tells that superposing a number of sinusoids, you get an arbitrary complex waveform. The same is true for spatial analysis. A complex spatial distribution is obtained, is expressed, as the summation of a number of spherical harmonics with proper weight. The weight of each component is the ambisonic representation of the complex complex spatial information. So in practice what we are doing are sampling space with a number of sampling points, which are the 32 directions of the 32 capsules of the Eigenmeier. Of course, the capsules of the Eigenmeier are not highly directed. The capsules of the Eigenmeier are omnidirectional microphones. We need to synthesize these 32 ultra-directed microphones. And how can we synthesize them? Again, with a matrix of FIR filter. Again, using Xvolver. As Xvolver was capable of convolving in real time four inputs, feeding four outputs for the Brahma or the tetrahedral microphone array, using an Eigenmeier, we can use Xvolver with this matrix of 32 by 32 FIR filters. Each filter is 2 kilopoints long, so if you compute the theoretical computational power required for convolving real time this matrix of 1000 FIR filters, 1000 FIR filter each 2 kilopoints long, so it is 2 million sample FIR filtering matrix convolution. It would be impossible on a computer, even on a modern one. But thanks to two tricks related to partition and convolution in frequency domain, instead, the computer managed to do this easily in real time with more or less 20% CPU load. So nothing. Very easy. And this way, you get here a 32 channel output, let's call B-format if you like. This is the SPS signal, spatial PCM sampling signal. That is 32 virtual highly directed microphone pointing all around the sphere. With this kind of analysis, you can make the spatial analysis of the impulse response of a room, employing these 32 very directive virtual microphone. This, for example, is the concert room at Casa della Musica. This is La Scala in Milan. This is when we did perform the measurement with Eigenmeier at La Scala. And this is instead at Casa della Musica in Parma. The Mercator projection of the room, La Scala, at the director position, and the Sala dei Concerti Casa della Musica at the recording position, which was at in the center of the listening area, quite far from the stage. This is the example of La Scala. Again, there is the cursor moving. This polar pattern show you the horizontal distribution of sound, and here you will see a color map showing from where the sound is coming. Let me try to see what happens. Direct sound from here. Reflection from the floor here. And now look here, there is some echo. Pong. The echo comes from the side of the stage. So again, this kind of analysis show you the direction of arrival of each sequence. You could say, but also with the traditional ambisonic theory you had this information, but that was only locating one direction, the average intensity direction. Here, if the sun arrives simultaneously by two directions, you will see two spots simultaneously. Like there was a moment, there was sun from here, but also sun from here. Because you have 32 independent, highly directed microphones, each one feeding a portion of the image. So it is like a spatial parallel filter bank. Again, making the comparison with Fourier analysis, traditional B-format component is a single filter which you can tune, but you only get one filtered signal at once. Instead, this is a parallel spatial filter bank, giving you simultaneously 32 spatially filtered outputs. Thinking in space is the same as thinking in frequency or in time. You just need to understand that we live in a quadridimensional space where we have one dimension is time and three-dimensional space, and there is no real difference between them. So if a theory works along time, it works also along space. It's the same. You can make a spatial Fourier analysis, and this is ambisonic. You can make spatial PCM sampling, and this is our approach. That is new, has less than 1 year now, just slightly more than 1 year. Okay, this is good for analyzing what happens in a room, it's good for recording, but it's good also for playback. Again, with the same theory, you can get your SPS32 virtual microphone signal. These are already processed signal. It is not shown here, but think there is Xvolver here, converting the raw capsule signal in the SPS virtual microphone signal. You feed with this 32 signal another decoding FIR matrix which feeds the loudspeaker. In this case, our 16 loudspeaker array in Casa della Musica. Again, you need a matrix of filter. And again, how can you find the coefficient for this filter? It's simple. You first measure. In this case, we are measuring the loudspeaker, not the microphone. The microphone is already pre-filtered and pre-equalized. So now the probe is calibrated. You bring your probe in the listening area. You make an impulse response measurement from every one of the loudspeaker in the array. So in this case, 16 impulse response measurement. You get a matrix of measured impulse response K. You invert K, or better, you search with the Kirkeby theory for a matrix of filter F, which, convolved with K, produce the wanted output, and the wanted output are the same signal which were recorded in the original space by the microphone. So what you want is a transparent system in which, placing the microphone here, these microphones re-record signals which are maximally close to the signal recorded in the original theory. In the original space, in the original theater. We call this re-recording condition the photocopy of the photocopy approach. So we want that the second copy becomes the same as the first copy. When you have a photocopying machine, how you check if the machine is good? You take a photo, place on the screen of the photocopier, make a first copy of your photo, then you take your photocopy, place this again on the glass of the photocopy machine and make a second copy. If the second copy is identical to the first copy, then your photocopy machine is fine. This is the same. You make the recording of the sound field in your room, playback over your system and record it again with the same probe at the listening position. If the re-recorded signal Y out, Y out, are identical to the original signal Y, then your playback system is transparent. And imposing this condition, you compute with the help of Mr. Kirkeby the filtering coefficient F. We tested this approach for now just in two playback systems. This one is the 40 loudspeaker rig at ISWR in Southampton, UK. We made this test in January of past year, 2001. And the second room where we had this system working is the listening room in Casa della Musica, and here you see the plastic bottles. You see the absorption. Oh, there are a lot of absorbing material in this room. That is the listening room which I have shown you before. Okay. Next year, the plan is to extend this approach for working in the wave field synthesis room. But for this, the wave field system room is planar only. So using the horizontal, using a spherical microphone array is not optimal. That is very good for a three-dimensional playback system. But for an horizontal-only playback system like the wave field synthesis room, this is not optimal. So what we are proposing now is to build a cylindrical microphone array. I don't know if I ever thought of this, because the guys are mounting it on next Monday. It's not yet built, the cylindrical microphone array. But perhaps I have some photo showing it you how it looks. Let me see. User Farina Lavori C name. There was a Dolby, no, articoli. Here perhaps. Okay, this is the cylindrical microphone array. There is still the mirror, the parabolic mirror, the camera here looking into the mirror, and those holes here are for the microphone. So it is a cylindrical thing, 36 centimeters tall, 11 centimeters diameter, which should make the same thing, spatial TCM recording, but not in spherical geometry, in cylindrical geometry, which is particularly well suited for the planar reproduction system of Casa del Suono. Finally, we can also use different microphone array. This was our first linear microphone array, employing 16 microphones with not uniform spacing, using variable spacing as some advantage in terms of invertibility of the matrix. Here we are outdoors on the turntable. We did not have the anechoic camera at hand, so we did make the measurement outdoor for checking the directivity pattern you can get with this linear microphone array. The directivity pattern is strongly variable with frequency, and it becomes narrower and narrower at increasing frequency, but at very high frequency is not so good anymore due to spatial aliasing again. We did employ this linear microphone array on an X-wide robot for mapping the vibration pattern of a wooden plate. Those wooden plates are of a special wood made in Val di Fiemme, and this wood is employed for building the resonating board of pianos or of other musical instruments like violin, harpas, and so on. So it's a special resonance wood with particular acoustic capability of radiating a lot of energy with high efficiency. And we want to know how are the spatial pattern of radiation by such a board. This is, for example, the results obtained with a small loudspeaker located in a rigid baffle, just for checking the capability of this scanning system of locating the true position of the sound source, and of course the localization capability increase with frequency. This is the spatial analysis of the wooden plate. This is the first order mode of the plate, and this is the acoustical measurement with the microphone array, and this is the vibration pattern measured with a velocimeter, a laser Doppler velocimeter, which was visible here. This yellow thing here is a laser Doppler velocimeter, and if you look here, there is the red spot, the light spot of the laser of the vibration meter. So the acoustical polar pattern is not exactly the same as the laser velocimeter, but more or less it is still capable of understanding the pattern of radiation. So we were happy of this result. This is another microphone array. Is a planar microphone array. Is a 1 meter by 1 meter square panel covered with 24 microphones randomly scattered. Now we have a new version of this. We have 32 microphones. This is the converter unit. Optimal positioning of the microphone has been checked to be not uniform. There are already on the market circular microphone array, but we have shown that with a random scattering of the microphone over the surface of the panel, instead of having them regularly spaced along a ring, provide much better imaging. Here you see on the left what happens when you use a traditional, regularly spaced microphone array, and what happens here with our optimal positioning of microphones over the panel, which were selected by trial and error, running 10,000 MATLAB simulations, and choosing the one which was capable of localizing the source better. This is what happens at the low frequency, and the frequency is actually always 1 kHz. What's the difference between the two? Random array matrix inversion. This is again the regular array, a circle of 0.5 meter radius, and this instead with random spacing of the microphone. This is the effect of regularization parameter, because again, also in this case, the matrix of filters is computed with the help of our friend Mr. Kirkeby. And with a larger regularization parameter, the image you get is better. These are applications of this planar array. There is a webcam in the center of the panel capturing a photo. And over this photo, you overplot your color chart coming from the microphone array and showing you from where the sound is coming. And in this case, this is a bottling line, the glass bottle were hitting each other in this area. And here you get this very loud red signal showing you that the sound is coming from here. Another example, outdoors, this is a noise barrier, loudspeaker on one side, sound level meter here, and our microphone array here. This is the image from the microphone array. You get most of the sound passing above the noise screen, but here there was a problem. There was an hole, actually, not perfect tight proofing of the contact between the screen and the ground. So here there is the possibility for the sound to leak below the barrier, and in fact the image show you that there is a secondary noise path here, and this can also be used inside building, for example, for checking if the wall separating one apartment from the next apartment has some weak point. It's like thermography, you know, with thermography you see the so-called head bridge. that is where the energy, the thermal energy, flows easily because there is lack of insulation. That's the same. With this technique you can really see from where the sound is passing through a wall, through a facade of a building or similar things. So we are working for getting this map in real time. Currently is not in real time. You first record, then process, and after 1 minute, more or less, you get the map. We are working now for getting the processing in real time, using again the Xvolver UST plugin and writing a video processing tool. Actually is an image processing tool. It creates a photo. But we want to create a video. So if the source is moving, we want to see this red spot moving on the screen in real time, not offline. And here there is space for a new thesis for that. So this is Xvolver, in this case, performing 16 input with one output for the linear microphone array. And this is, okay, this is all. It's wrong to stay here. Okay. Any question on this virtual microphone technology? It's difficult to explain this in 1 hour. If someone of you will make his thesis on this topic, there will be time to go slowly inside the topic and to understand. The map is not complex because we have only one formula, the Kirchhoff formula. This one does everything. Does binaural, does ambisonics B-format, does encoding in SPS, does decoding of SPS, does virtual microphone. This formula here is always the same. The measured data C, the prescribed data Q, and the regularization parameter beta. That's all, very simple. One stupid formula for everything. No complex equation of the waveform, no integrals, no double derivative, Laplacian function, nothing at all. This is just sum and multiplication. These are FIR filtering. Very stupid, very basic. Nothing. Okay. Thank you. I hope to see you next week.